Monday, September the 9th, I slept until 9:30. I woke to find Lyndon having coffee in the West Hall, Larry Temple and Jim Jones. Okay. On those fortunate mornings when I sleep late, he slips out to keep from waking me and has breakfast and conducts business in our family sitting room, the West Hall. It was a day just tailored to my liking. Much work, some exercise, and a gay, convivial ending to look forward to. First in the morning, I went with Lyndon to the dedication of the HUD building. I wanted to particularly because André Meyer has been interested in it as a part of the whole L'Enfant Plaza complex. Marcel Breuer's handiwork is indeed impressive. Mm-hmm. It houses 4,300 under one roof, and wonder of wonder, in this day, it costs $3 million less than Congress appropriated. We went to the platform. There were the familiar figures, Secretary Weaver, Bob Wood, Dr. Haar, and to my surprise, Lyra Thomas, and Archbishop O'Boyle, that embattled man for whom I feel an extra kinship these days. Lyndon made the principal address. Good enough, but I wish it could have been off the cuff, hot and pithy. And to me, some of the most memorable words of the day were the Reverend Leon Sullivan's, Negro poverty worker from Philadelphia, whose project we saw with such enthusiasm a year ago or so. Back at the White House, I had 30 laps in the pool, and then went to Jean-Louis, and then began the long afternoon of work. First, an interview, partly by tape, with James Egan for Good Housekeeping on my future plans. We sat in the Lincoln sitting room, had spiced tea, and spent an hour trying to keep a course between being guarded and candid. There are so many things I want to do. Follow autumn from the tip of Vermont, or would it be Maine, down through gold and crimson New England, past familiar Washington and Maryland, Virginia, and on down through the South to home. And in reverse, follow spring, beginning maybe with the old historic homes and gardens of Mississippi, and on up through South Carolina, and once again to New England. And I love to walk the Appalachian Trail, and I want to go down ever so many rivers. The Snake and the Rio Grande have just been a taste. And one thing I shall do is go to the homes of all the presidents. By now, I have been to at least 12. And so often, you find that there are two or three to commemorate each president. With us, it will all be a package, from birth to death, right there in that little river valley. I'd even like to go back to the university and get a master's, probably on the wildflowers of the Edwards Plateau. But very likely, I shall never have the discipline, the determination, the tenacity to stick to it. And so, I had better not talk about it. And that applies to so many things. And I want to pay for living here, in this wonderful country. I want to know and work at what's going on in my community, in my area, in my state, for good things. Maybe a little volunteer work in Head Start, or getting automobiles into the small towns of Texas. And always, always, I'll be working on parks and conservation. And I shall dip more luxuriously into the pleasures of the theater. It has been just a little taste getting to know the Paladura Canyon pageant and the Albany Fandangle. Now I would like to explore the Trinity Theater in San Antonio. And I've never even been to the Jefferson Museum. And then, compellingly, there's the call of all the faraway places that I want to go to see. To snorkel in the clear waters off Mexico. Is it Cozumel or Merida? And to go to live archaeological digs in the Yucatan Peninsula and the Tigris Euphrates in Greece. It's almost a family joke, me going away to the Isles of Greece on a boat to get away from everything. But when I go, I shall try to take some of my family along. There's nobody that I find more fun. But this would sound so naked in print, and before any of it was done. And so I talked a good deal about the prosaic and necessary things, the first months that must be spent in unpacking possessions of 30 years accumulation, in helping get a daughter whose husband is overseas settled in with a baby temporarily in my home until he returns. So with considerable trepidation, I spent an hour, and heaven knows what will come of it. And then, after a good long session with Liz and Sharon going over an excellent memo that Sharon had prepared, a sort of synthesis of our achievements in my committee and of the projection of things to come, I spent another hour with Merle Seacrest of the Washington Post, once again in the Lincoln sitting room and over a cup of spiced tea, talking about beautification, past, present, and future. The best of all things was that I found her a devotee. She, too, is hooked and enthusiastic. And if there's one triumph I can think of, is that there are more articulate writers and thinkers, more projectors to the public about conservation and beautification than there were 4 years ago. And for that, I can take some little credit. I described our wind-up achievements, the Haupt Fountains on their lips, and the Haynes Point Jet, the three schools, Bowen under construction, and Bryan and Kingsman going out for bids, and in the low-income area, the two Vespocket Parks, gift of the Kriegers, and the planting of street trees in Shaw. And we examined our failures. Somehow we hadn't enlisted the full support of the business community of Washington. Most of the big gifts had come from outside, although there had been some. Mrs. Meriwether Post, the Kriegers, the Lockheims, the Meyer Foundation. Sometimes there had been a failure to have the full support of a neighborhood on a project that you put there, such as a school improvement, and that was always absolutely necessary. I did not mention it, but one of my conspicuous failures along that line is a little park in Johnson City that sits there unused and unappreciated, really. But I hope a lesson to me. After Murr left, I worked a while at my desk, and then at 7 went down for the happy gay ending of the day, the county fair on the South Grounds. Only in our administration have these South Grounds seen such a sight. A Ferris wheel, a merry-go-round, peanuts and popcorn and cotton candy, sack races and fortune tellers. We ran into Scooter Miller and Mary Caltman, decked out in loud colors and dozens of strings of beads and brown paint, dispensing the fortunes to all comers. Ernie Goldstein and Tyler Abel, wearing red-striped vests and straw hats, were barkers for the sack races and the crack the whip. Everybody had been called in to help. I asked where Linda Bird was. First she was on the merry-go-round, then up in the Ferris wheel. Somebody expressed concern, and she'd said, "Well, my doctor told me I mustn't go skiing," but he never said anything about Ferris wheels. She has been so live and gay, so strong and sensible. I am very proud of her. She is funny about her baby, calls him Thumper, describes his gymnastics rather ruefully, and goes right on to the Iranian embassy or the Moroccan for dinner or bridge, for long walks around the monuments, for weekends in New York and Newport, inviting friends down to see the house. It's very satisfying. Always before, the staff party has been at Christmas, and because there have been at least 1,000, it was not possible to invite them to bring their spouses. Outdoors, we can. That's the great virtue of this evening. At least the first 10 people I stopped to talk to were from the photographic section, and we laughed at how busy we'd kept them, and there were telephone operators everywhere. I'll always think of them as my special friends, and I saw the Filipinos with their wives, and even Wong, accompanying Mary and James Davis, munching on a hot dog and apparently communicating with them somehow. He's in language school now. And all of Lyndon's top assistants were there. I hear Walt Rostow even made it. And I ran into George Christian, Larry Temple, Tom Johnson, Joe Califano. It was a great evening with everybody especially proud to be able to bring their husband or their wife to the place where they worked, the White House. Bess had a photographic business going. At the choice spot on the front lawn, there was a little platform, and a long line of the staff lined up to mount the platform, have a picture made by Polaroid with the backdrop of the great house. And afterwards, I signed ever so many of them. About 9, Lyndon came out, made a circle of the lawn, joking with everybody he knew, gathered up the Rufus Youngbloods and Marie and John Criswell, Jim Jones and Olive Olivia. We wound up on the second floor a little past 9, amply fed by the delicious barbecued ribs. But we all had a drink and talked with Rufus about security at the ranch in the months to come, Tom and Jim about the office staff, and Linda and Wari Lynn, and a little past 11 to bed.